Father dropped a really special verse in my heart a couple of weeks ago, and I felt like it would fit this morning. And the verse is from Matthew 7. It's a verse that you all know. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. See, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. He's shown me really my favorite part to this. And the passion. It says, ask, and the gift is yours. Seek, and you'll discover. Knock, and the door will be opened to you, for you. For every persistent one will get what he asks for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he longs for. And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. This is such a beautiful invitation with so much promise to us right now. Ask, seek, and knock. Why are we asked to ask? Why don't we see things immediately or obviously? How many missed the arrival of Jesus? The shepherds came. These are the wise men from 2 years ago. So it's 2022. So they took 2 or 3 years to arrive. Are they hidden for a purpose? The things of God, the kingdom of heaven, are there things that are hidden that require us to ask, that require us to seek, that require us to knock? Why does God hide things? It says in Proverbs, God conceals the revelation of his word in the hiding place of his glory. But the honor of kings is revealed by how they thoroughly search out the deeper meaning of all that God says. The heart of a king is full of understanding, but the heavens are high and the ocean is deep. So God hides things because he wants us to find them, to look for them. There's something about that movement, that hunger, that desire, that passion. If we just get given something, we don't always value it. Think of an inheritance that, you know, you talk about all with a spoon in your mouth, and you might not have gotten a spoon.
Right, the silver spoon.
Yes, well, but if you have seen how God has led you personally, then you have been invested in that journey. The disciples asked Jesus why he always spoke in parables. Do you know why? He says, why do you always speak to people in these hard-to-understand parables? He explained, you've been given the intimate experience of insight into the hidden mysteries of the realm of heaven's kingdom, but they have not. You've been given intimate insight. What's the difference? Why did they see and why did others not? Well, it's to do with the heart. It says, for everyone who listens with an open heart will receive progressively more revelation until he has more than enough. So if I listen with an open heart, it's going to show me things. And he's going to show me more. And if I allow that to land, he's going to give me even more until I can hardly contain it. You know, sometimes I open the Bible and it's like meant to be focusing on this bit, but it's like, and what? And it's just more, and it's amazing. And I want to color in and draw and write it down. But he says, but those who don't listen with an open, teachable heart, even the understanding that they think they have will be taken from them. That's why I teach the people using parables, because they think they're looking for truth, yet their hearts are unteachable, and they never discover it. Although they listen to me, they never fully perceive the message I speak. We went to a footnote in the Passion, and I want to talk about, just being here, about secrets and mystery. The Greek word mysterium is found 27 times in the New Testament and means secrets or mysteries. The mysteries of heaven's kingdom realm are spiritual insights into the nature and ownership and ways of God. Jesus Christ can only be fully understood by the Spirit, not merely by the intellect of man. Jesus taught his disciples using this cryptic language of parables to move them beyond intellectual ability and to engage our spirit. If the listener has a hunger to learn with an open, teachable heart, then Jesus' words brings life and understanding. We must always be those who push aside our opinions and traditions to glean the deepest meaning of all that Jesus did and taught. So it's by our spirit. Ask. Why does God say to ask? Well, we have to be, first of all, looking in the right direction for everything. We can ask, but we're looking in the wrong place. God has designed us to live in reliance on him for everything. And we've been learning together about what that looks like with our finances, with our time, with ourselves, with meeting together. The Lord's Prayer says, give us today our daily bread. Can we find in line and need us? Matthew says, ask and the gift is already ours. If I ever ask Mark something, I know he's going to do it. I hardly need to say the question or the request and it's already done. And that makes me very careful, so I don't want to do too much because I'm listening to where he's at too. But I know that if I ask something, he's going to do it. It's a precious relationship. There was one time when I said, I just want to say something, but I'm not asking for it. Because I know that if I ask, he's going to do it. So I said, I'm just going to say, but I'm not actually asking. I just want to say hot tub, but I'm not asking for one. And so then he went to look online to see if there were some ones on, you know, Facebook Marketplace or anything. I said, no, I wasn't asking for one. I just wanted you to know that that's in my heart. We left one in Canada. We said we didn't need one in South Carolina. And it would just be really lovely. Well, he checked. He said, oh, they're not as expensive as I thought. I said, I'm not. And so the next week, he checked again and was first to find a free one. And so we have a hot tub that Father overrode my reticence to ask, but we get in that and think, thank you. That was like a tentative heart. I didn't need it, but it was like he hears our heart cry. So asking is an invitation because it's not just about our needs, but it's to tell him everything. And even if you say, you work it out, Lord, he just does amazing things. That was ask, so seek. God has designed us with a curiosity and passion to search things out. It's about a treasure. It's actually a delight and a joy. It says in the parable of the pearl of great price, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all he had and bought it. I remember when I was 18 and I said, God, I won't go anywhere for you in boxes. And he believed me. We've used boxes to get from England to Canada, and we've used boxes to get from Canada to here. But my heart was saying, I'm yours because I love you so much and I love what you've done with me and I want to share that. But I wasn't the person then that I am becoming now, and there's so much more to learn. So as we say and give him our yes, he takes us on a journey. And it's amazing. There's nothing that you can lose by saying yes and giving up anything. So what do I treasure and give priority to in my life? I have to continually come back to what's the most important and make sure I guard it. What am I contending for? What are you contending for? What, if you miss it out, is going to have you run off the rails? And what is most important to move you from who you are now to who you can become? There's often resistance to growing, to a time of quietness and being with him. Father's invited me to spend time each morning in a specific way. It's very hard to always be consistent with what I see he's asking, but I know that he is trying to get me away from all the distractions so that I can sit with him. So I'm on a journey too, of course. We talk about having a jar and putting rocks in, and if you have a whole range of rocks and you put all the little ones in, you're not going to get the big ones in. So it says to put the big rocks in first, and then the little ones will all just flow in the spaces. And so what are the big rocks in your life that you need to put in the jar first? And knock. God has designed us to be confident and expectant of good things. It says, all things work together for good for those who love him. The children of Israel complained at their lot. How much do we not see his best plan at work? Because we're so concerned with what's going on. We're concerned with how squeezed we feel. But later, when we look back, you see what he's done in our lives. It says, even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. This hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We've had times in our lives where we didn't understand what God was doing. Sometimes things were hard, but we kept on saying, it's got to be your way of fun. When we look back now, we are so grateful for those times. Working something so deep, much more than just what's on the surface. He's trying to find our hearts, and he's trying to get our hearts to be fully available to him. And that's the journey. He's after all the things that distract. He's after all the things that pull us away. Because there's so much fullness when we're so completely available to him. So it says, as we continue to knock, the door will be opened. And of course, closed doors are his kindness and protection, because He's saving us for the door that he does want to go through. There was one time in my life when I prayed, God, I want you to shut all the doors you don't want me to go through and open the one that you did. He did that to a T. I was applying at the time for postgrad teacher training, and I had my music degree. And through the process, he just shut each door step by step. And then led me a completely different direction. And I had such peace at the door closing. So I'm like, how can this be? This is not what I was expecting. But then he just led me, and the door that he did open was incredible. But what I wanted to do was turn it around. How about this morning if we think, it's not about me asking, me seeking, me knocking. What about if it's Father asking you? If he's asking you. If he's seeking something in you. If he's knocking. It talks about the hidden treasure. We think of that as maybe me selling my things so I can buy the field with the treasure in, but it's actually Jesus buying the field. And he comes to find us in the field. So we have been hidden in the world, we are hidden in the world, and Jesus comes to find us. So many people you look out there, and each one is a treasure Jesus is looking for and finding. And that's his heart. He wants to find every single one. He's asking something unique for me. And I put it to you to ask, what is Father God saying to you? What is he asking? What is he inviting you into? What is the dream that you're yet to fulfill that requires this first of all step of obedience? Because the obedience is the precursor to receiving. He's seeking my heart, and he's overjoyed to pour into my open heart. He doesn't wait until I do get it right to sit down quietly with him. He speaks all the time. But when I do sit with him, how rich and how deep. And it may be something that he's put on your heart to do. Maybe something that you're waiting to do and you're longing to do could be to write. It could be to record. It could be to make a difference in community. Just know that the enemy doesn't like what we've been created for, because there's something that you are created for uniquely that no one else can fulfill. And he's not happy about you stepping into that. And so it takes us being intentional. It takes us being part of a family so that others can support us and can help us. For me, I know that he wants me to record and to continue writing music. And for the first time, have a place for it to land where others can sing and play and see how that goes. And knocking, someone once said that the handle of the door is on the inside. So when the Father is knocking on the door of your heart, he's not going to burst in, not going to force himself on you, but it's up to me to say, if I would like you, I want you in all the time for this day. What do you want to do? So we're going to just be quiet before we take communion. And I want you to just close your eyes or just be in your own little space just to ask God, what are you saying to me this morning? What are you, what is on your heart that you're asking? What question are you posing? Do you want to see this as discovery in me? I'm going to invite us to take communion as a response. So I invite us to come up and take communion. Because this Christmas time is a time when he wants to meet with you. Jesus came for everybody, but he came for you. He left behind his glory and became a baby.
So, Father, thank you. You're standing at our door and knocking. You're asking us to say yes to you. You're seeking us for a relationship. And so as we turn toward you again this morning, as we receive the bread and the wine that represents what Jesus has done that we couldn't do ourselves, our receiving you is our saying yes to you. So you come and say yes to all that you're saying in our hearts this Christmas and for the year ahead. Thank you for seeking us, knocking on the door of our hearts. Thank you for asking us to step into your embrace. And we come and receive to say yes to you. Amen. So you can come and receive the elements. I'll just have a moment with Jesus yourself as you say yes. Come on forward when you're ready. Father, thank you for the joy of the incarnation. Jesus, be alive more and more in every one of us, that we would declare and proclaim your power and your glory to all that we meet, everywhere that we go, in every circumstance and every setting over this Christmas season. Be glorified in every one of us, in Jesus' name. And may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Why don't you bless someone else as we close? And God bless you this Christmas. We'll see you back here for Sunday 29th. Renee is speaking about living this out in our daily lives. And then New Year's Eve, come and bring all your leftovers and your cheating skills. And your heart of prayer for the new year. We'll see you back here for those. God bless you. Mm-hmm.